We're going to be talking about honoring parents tonight. Yes, exactly. So you probably want to bring your kids back into the sanctuary. Let me see a show of hands. How many people here tonight have children? How many children? Okay. Yeah. How many in here actually have parents? Let me see the hands. Still not all of you. I'm surprised. See, we all have parents. No one's exempt from that, and so we have to honor what God says here, and that we have to honor our parents. And even that command itself can sometimes draw up some emotions. Certainly, if we look to God as our Heavenly Father, man, He's so loving, He's so caring, He's so faithful, He's so good. And then when we compare that to our earthly parents, sometimes we cannot, you know, maybe there's a little less of honor there because of certain expectations, certain things that have happened. You know, parents aren't perfect, you know, and it's hard work to be a parent. And so, you know, I applaud you parents that are doing it, that you're training up your kids and teaching your kids the way they should go. It's not an easy task, especially in the days that we live in. But this commandment here to honor our parents, you know, as many of you probably already know, you know, it's the only commandment that comes with a promise, that if we keep this command, then there's going to be a benefit to it. And certainly there's a benefit to following all the commandments. You know, it certainly honors God in those things. But this one here specifically, God says, you know, if you honor your father and your mother, it'll go well with you. And my wife and I, we don't have children, but we like to encourage the younger generations, you know, honor your parents. You know, because it's the right thing to do. It's the thing to do before the Lord. So, and as we've talked with, you know, the first four commandments were all about our relationship to God. We were talking about worshiping God. God first, no other gods before Him, and no carved images, and, you know, keeping the Sabbath day holy. But while we switch to the fifth commandment, now we move into more of our relationships with others, our relationships with each other. And it's very important to distinguish these things. Now, before the discovery of ancient treaty patterns, there was a relation in their relationship, to the Ten Commandments. Many people assumed that there were two tablets. You know, we probably all have seen the Ten Commandments, and, you know, Charlton Heston comes down with those two tablets. And many people assumed that those two tablets of the law were divided into two sections. And many Bible scholars believe that the first four were on the first tablet, and then starting from commandment number five, and the rest were on the second tablet. But there's some interesting thing that I discovered, I didn't discover anything, they discovered it. When you look into ancient treaties, there were actually two copies of a treaty, and each copy, one was placed into the temples, the prominent temple for those individuals or those parties of that were making the treaty. So they both had a copy. And now, you know, some commentators believe that those commandments, those two tablets, had the very same thing on them, all ten. And it was a commitment between God and His people. And those two tablets sat into the Holy of Holies. They went into the Holy of Holies, and God took care of them and kept His eye upon these commandments. And so this was an agreement that you keep these commandments and I'll take care of you. And it's just an interesting thing to think about, you know, because who knows? But in Exodus chapter 34, we're going to see that the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. We know what happened to the first set. And I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you wrote. Oh, so these are the commandments that are on those tablets. And so it's important as we've been studying this, these Ten Commandments, that these aren't ancient ideas that you know, we don't have to worry about. Certainly through Jesus Christ, He's fulfilled the law, and we have that blessing as we have our faith and trust in Christ and the things that He's done upon the cross. But these commands are so important for us today. To number one, to know them. You know, it's good to know what the Ten Commandments are, to hide them in your heart. And to be reminded of them. This one here tonight that we're looking at, honoring our parents. And let's look at it's just verse 12. We're going to read that tonight. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. In this command, God is saying to you, know, honor your father and mother. The term honor means to treat with significance. And these qualify to everyone. Like I said, like my little survey there, everyone has parents, and we're called to honor our parents, father and mother. And certainly in the times that this was written, the days of the Exodus here, I mean, parents were respected then. Parents were honored back then. If a mom and dad said do something, the children just did it. You know, and we live in much different times, do we not? We live in much different times where parents will say things, and honestly, it's almost like the kids go, well, let me consider that before I decide whether I'll obey you or not. And again, I don't have kids, but I have employees. No. None of them are in here right now, so that's a good thing. But, you know, it's like there's this respect for parents, you know, is gone. And certainly as Christians, we want to make sure we train up our children the way they should go. We want to train them up into the ways of God and understand the truths of God. And this certainly is a very important one here. You know, I like to just, when I look at stuff like this, I like to think about what we've read. Honor your father and your mother. And, you know, the command doesn't say honor them if they're good to you, does it? It doesn't say honor them if they deserve to be honored, if they've done something well. No, the command is very clear, honor them. And it's kind of like we've been talking about even in 1 Timothy on Sundays, you know, honor your employers, you know, honor your masters. You know, there's a respect for the position. Moms and dads have a position, have a call by God to train up their kids and to raise them in a godly home. And we're to honor that position. But it doesn't come with stipulations. It doesn't come with that, well, as long as they do what I like them to do, then I'll honor them. Or they give me the things that I want. No, honor them. Listen, is it possible for us to honor our parents simply because God tells us to? Isn't that enough? I mean, do we really have to have a reason to honor our parents? And listen, I know we've all experienced, we've seen the things on the news. Parents mess up a lot. Parents, there's a lot of bad decisions that parents make, and I bet there's a lot of parents that wish they didn't make those decisions. And, you know, but those that are believers at least are trying, should be trying to do the right thing to raise up their kids. And to honor them is good in the sight of God. And I don't know about you, but to me that's enough. Yes, I love my mother and my father, I do. And I'm very glad to have a closer, intimate relationship with my parents. We just get along great. We always have. Always have. But I know, I've heard the stories of people that haven't talked to their parents in a long time because of situations that have happened. And there's probably a lot of pain. There's probably a lot of scars. But guys, you know, I was going to share this towards the end, but it's like, and I will, I'll hold it to the end. But I know people that honor their parents simply because they know it pleases to God, pleasing to God. It's hard. It's not easy to honor a parent that was abusive. It's not easy to honor a parent or to obey a parent that really isn't being the right kind of parent. But still, that's what God calls us to do. And so we're going to look at this and really kind of think about honoring our parents, and who's a better example? I always like to go to Christ. I always like to go to Jesus and say, how did he honor his father? And so real quick, let's go over to John's Gospel, the fifth chapter, John chapter 5. We're going to kind of skim through a few verses in this chapter because Jesus kind of touches upon some things here as he's instructing his disciples. And I'm in the wrong place. John chapter 5. There we go. First verse I want you to look at with me is verse 19, chapter 5 of John's Gospel. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, speaking of God, the Son also does in like manner. We're going to just kind of do a little mini thing here. The first thing I want you to do, as followers of Christ, as lovers of God, and as children, we are going to be a reflection of our parents. A reflection of our parents. Notice what Jesus says again, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, That's what he does. You know, the majority of our personality, the majority of what we learn in our early development years are almost completely based upon what we've seen our parents do. Isn't that interesting? Think about that. Whether you like it or not, you just, that's who you're around all the time. And so the majority of our learning, the majority of our personality is going to come from those early years, those developmental years. Is learned by copying what they do. Yeah, you know, it's a, I always love to see the picture of the, you know, the little boy with his plastic lawnmower out there cutting grass with his dad. He's following in the footsteps of his father. He's doing what dad does. Boys usually like to do what dad does. Girls usually like to do what mom does. And there's, you just follow that. It's just a natural thing. It's a reflection of who your parents are. Now, some of us in this room might go, I never want to be like my parents. Yeah. And maybe many, if not all of us, have said it. Man, when I grow up, I'm not going to be like my father. I'm not going to be like my mother. But can I honestly say there are traits about you that are always going to be like that no matter what? No matter what. No matter how hard you try. I've said things out of my own mouth, and I've looked around like, where's my dad? I mean, it's like, many times my wife says, what you just said there sound just like your father. You know, and mannerisms and habits and personality traits and all of these things just come out of us because of how we've been brought up. To this day, when my wife talks to her grandmother in South Carolina, she gets the heaviest Southern accent I've ever heard. I'm like, where does that come from? Again, it's in us. It's just how we're knit together. We're a reflection of our parents. We're a reflection of the people. Maybe it's not your parents. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you grew up without parents. I'd never even thought about this until just now. Maybe somebody else brought you up. But those are the people you're going to glean from. Those are the people that you're going to reflect. And certainly Jesus says, I can do nothing of myself. I'm only going to do what God does or what I see God do. And certainly as Christians, that should be something that we strive for. And look for, but we're a reflection. Our talk, our expressions, our mannerisms, even our quirks are that way. So we're going to be a reflection. And I think it's important for us to look at those things and glean those positive qualities from our parents and nurture those. Certainly the things that are wrong and things that aren't right, then we need to, you know, curtail that kind of behavior. We can never stand before God and say, well, I did it because that's how my parents did it. If we know the truth, if we know how to train up children, if we know how to do those things that God tells us to, we'll have to be that way and do it right. Actually, I was sitting with a friend of mine down in Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, sent his son up here. If you were here, he led worship for us a few months back, and we were sitting at lunch, and it was amazing to me. The way he was talking, the way his head was moving, the way his hand movements, I was like, you are just like your father. It is absolutely amazing to me. It just is how it is. We're going to be that reflection. But not only a reflection, also a dependence. We're dependent upon our parents. Look down to verse 26 this time, same place, John chapter 5. For the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. There's a dependence that we have as children upon our parents. And you know, I like to think of all the things that mom and dad did for us when we didn't even know what they were doing for us. In those early years, they fed us, they took care of us, they probably protected us from many harms. There's this dependence that we have upon our parents, and we need to honor that what they did when in those formative and early years, caring for us. Parents gave you life, and they sustained your life, believe it or not. You know? Hopefully they fed you every day. Hopefully they changed your dirty diapers every day. I mean, hopefully they cared for you. You were dependent upon them. It's not like, you know, you have a child and say, good luck on yourself. You know, good luck there. Stay in the crib. Figure it out. No. So that we have a dependence upon them. And I just like to think of all the things that we don't even remember what they've done, the things they've done to help us. Bill Cosby, everybody knows Bill Cosby? I love the saying he has when it comes to his relationships with his children. Some of you may know this. He says, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out and make another one look just like you. We're dependent upon our parents, right? And so, you know, when we have this relationship to our parents, we need to make sure we realize we are dependent upon them. And to honor God, we need to make sure we do what's right. And then thirdly and lastly, look at verse 30, chapter 5. This last one is submission. It's submission. Jesus says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Submission. Two key qualities that will bring fulfillment and success in our life is those of humility and submission. Humility and submission. Jesus Christ exemplified these two qualities. He was the most humble person. He was the most submissive person to his heavenly Father. He would not do anything unless he was told by God. He says, again, because I do not seek my own will, but God's will. Again, wouldn't it have been nice when we grew up if mom and dad said do something and we just did it, if we were submissive to it? I don't know what it was about me, and I'm not trying to brag, but when mom and dad said stop, I stopped. When mom and dad said do this, I did it. When mom and dad said this, I obeyed. My brother, 2.5 years younger than me, exact opposite. To this day, I can't figure out why we were so different. Whatever they told him to do, he wouldn't do. Whatever they told him to stop doing, he would keep doing. And it's like, what is this unwillingness to submit? Unwillingness to submit to that. Listen, the two qualities, this humility and submission, are the only qualities that you can learn in the parent-child relationship. Listen, if you don't like your job, what can you do? You can quit, right? If you don't like your friends, you get new ones. If you don't like your neighbors, you move. If you don't like your school, you transfer. But if you don't like your family, you can't get out. You can't move. You can't quit. You're your family, no matter whether you're with them or not. Those are your parents. And we're to submit to them. Your relationship to your parents is the one relationship you cannot change, no matter how hard you try. No matter how many times you've been, what's that term? Anyways, never mind. Gosh, it's bothering me though. Disowned. That was it. They can disown you, but guess what? You're still their child, and they're still your parents. It's the only relationship, and God sets it up in this way. It says, listen, I need you to honor them. I need you to respect them. I need you to obey them. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus said in his most difficult time in his life, in his ministry, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying out to Heavenly Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. And yet, what does he say? Not my will be done, yours be done. Not my will be done, yours be done. Listen, we've all heard those words from our parents, because I told you so. That's why. Do we need a reason? You know, when you ask your kids to do something, do they ask you why? Do they negotiate? I mean, I'm amazed at the negotiation process between parents and kids. I'm not judging. It's like somebody tells Jimmy to do something, and I don't want to, no. It's like, wow, that wasn't even an option in my life. I've told you this story. I was in Michael's Arts and Craft. I was picking something up for something in the church years ago. I'm standing in line. There's this mom on the cell phone and little Billy. And she's on the phone. Oh, Sally would like to have lunch with Billy? Let me ask. And Billy, would you like to have lunch with Sally? He looks up. No. No, Billy doesn't want to have lunch with Sally. I'd be like, what? Little kid. I was just standing there with my jaw. I'm like, who is the adult here? You know, my mom said, you know, when I grew up, there wasn't like a choice of food. It's like, you got what was put in front of you. And I was like, not anymore. I mean, every kid gets what they want, well, they want it. I don't know why I said that, but it's like, come on. True submission does not have to ask why. If we have right relationships, if we have a trusting relationship from our parents, because really we should be able to trust our parents. They should be the ones that have our best interest at stake. And as parents here tonight, are your kids important to you? Are your kids' lives important to you? Are their well-being important to you? And I hope some of you aren't going, well, dirty, rotten kids. I hope you're not thinking that. I'm hoping that you love your children. You want the best for them. Because that's what God's desire is. So we can see that by Jesus setting an example of honoring his Heavenly Father, that we too should honor our parents. And this includes three other things. Let's go now to, Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. Honoring our parents includes three things, and many other things, but there's just three I want to talk about tonight. Number one, it includes obeying them, doesn't it? Honoring our parents means obeying them. As I said, come when they tell you to come, go where you when they tell you to go, do what they tell you to do. I mean, God says you need to respect your parents and obey them. Leviticus 19:3 says, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. The word revere there means to respect them. That's the place that we have as children. And we're to do this cheerfully. We'll go there later, but Ephesians chapter 6 tells children to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Paul tells the church, obey your parents because it's the right thing to do. If nothing else, it's the right thing to do in God's eyes. You know, and I want to remind us of a parable, the parable of the two sons. When Jesus says this, but what do you think? A man has two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go, work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. He changed his mind. He obeyed. At first, he disobeyed, but then he realized the error of his ways, and he obeyed. The second son said, yes, I'll go, but never went. Disobedient. See, obedience is so important. Obedience does the right thing, listen, no matter what the consequences. You do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And obeying our parents, Paul says, is right. And that's what we should do. We should obey them and honor them. Not only that, stay there in Matthew 15, we're getting there. Not only are we to obey them, but we're to listen to them. We're to listen to our parents. If nothing else, our parents have been down the road a little bit more than we have. They've experienced things more than we have. They've had experiences and they understand. Receiving advice, do you take advice from your parents? Whenever you make a decision, do you call mom and dad up and say, hey, I'm thinking about a few things, I'd like to run it by you? I mean, get advice from them because they've been there. You know, get a direction from them because they've probably walked there. You know, I remember the first time my wife and I bought a house. I didn't know anything about that. In fact, the first time I ever tried to buy a house, it was the most miserable experience I ever had to live through. It's like, I don't want to do that ever again. To get advice from my parents and to get their consent, to get their approval in our lives, isn't that important as parents? Parents want to be proud of their children and to ask them what they think and you know what they think about a decision that you're going to make. Again, because they want the best for you. You know, Bible says that we're in Mark chapter 10, verse 7, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother. And that verse makes it look like, hey, don't have anything to do with your parents. But that verse talks about being connected to your spouse and united. But it doesn't mean to disqualify your parents from input and direction. No, that's not the heart of God. God wants you to, he wants to create a new family with you and your spouse. But your parents are there to give you instruction and direction, so we're to listen to them. When's the last time you called your mom and dad and asked for advice? When's the last time you picked up the phone and said, you know, just told them what was going on? I enjoy calling my dad and just telling him what's going on in my life. Even if there's really nothing different, it's all the same stuff. He just likes to know. And I want to hear from him. I want to understand what's going on in his life. So we're to listen to them. But the last thing is we're to get comfort from them and to comfort them in their time of need, because they're our parents, to make their old age easy upon them, maintaining them if they stand in need of support, which Jesus makes very specifically important here in this command in Matthew chapter 15. And look at with me at verse 1, this chapter. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were in Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, look at this, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. The people of that time were taking the commandment of God and disqualifying it based on their tradition. That no, you know, if we cared for them, that's it, that's enough. We don't have to honor our parents any longer. And Jesus says, that's wrong. Your traditions are getting in your way from the truth of God's word. And we might actually get into that way in the days that we live in. That we might realize, oh, nobody really cares for their parents anymore. Nobody honors their parents anymore. That's silly. Do you have a good relationship with your parents? And if you don't, why don't you? What is it? What is it that's gotten in the way? What is it that's caused that hindrance? And I know sometimes circumstances happen where it's impossible to have a relationship with them because they don't want to have a relationship with you. But make sure, Christian, make sure you're not the reason. Make sure you're not the cause for creating that division. Do everything in your power to restore that relationship with your parents. It's important. Do your part. Honoring your parents is providing for them as they provided for you. Do your parents have need? And have you met those needs? Can you meet those needs and you refuse to because of days gone by? Again, we're doing this because we want to honor the Lord. If we go back to Exodus chapter 20, honor your father and mother, but this command goes on. He adds a promise to this particular commandment that your days may be long upon the land. Anybody here want to live a long time? Excellent. I'm ready to go to heaven myself and live forever, but I don't want to live long here on this earth. And I don't see that happen is what God is talking about here. Honor your father and mother, man, you'll live forever on earth. No. I think what he's saying is you honor your father and your mother. You do what I've asked you to do with respect to your parents, and I'll make sure your life is fulfilled. I'll make sure that your life makes a difference. I'll make sure that your life is satisfying. I'll make sure that your days make an impact. I'll tell you, I thought about this. Now that I know the Lord, and now that I've been walking with Him for however many years, I can't imagine doing it without Him. I can't imagine doing life without the Lord in my life. Without knowing God, without knowing His benefits, without knowing His commands, without knowing His promises from His Word, without knowing the fact that one day I'm going to, you know, be in His presence and just worship Him all the time. How do people do it without? Well, they're blind. They have no idea what they're missing. But see, we here tonight who know the Lord, who love the Lord, who have the Lord in our lives, no matter what goes on outside in the world, we have this sense of hope. There should be a sense of hope that life is good. No matter what's going on with your stock market or with your, you know, investments or what's going on in the workplace, no matter what's going on, you should have this confidence that God's in control. God's on the throne. Jesus has overcome. The aches and pains in life. Listen, God isn't saying, I'm going to give you a life, a long life, so you live longer, because we know many Christians die well before they even live. And it seems like the unbelievers live forever and have everything, and it just seems like they're being benefited by it. And this is what I say every time we look at the world and see like they're having a great time and we're suffering as Christians. I like, let them have fun, because this is all they got. This is the best that they're going to have. Let them have fun. And if we have to suffer in this world so that we can kick back in heaven and have things in heaven that are more abundant than anything we can think or imagine. And as I've said before, I can think of some pretty neat stuff that I would like. And the Bible says heaven's going to be greater than that. Okay. I can deal with some stuff going on here in this world. And so when I see a command that says, honor your father and mother, that the days may be long upon the land, listen, that I'm giving to you. God in this command is reminding them of his provision for them in the promised land that's to come. They haven't even got there yet. He says, you do this, and I'm going to make sure your days are long in the land I'm going to give to you. And for us here tonight, I think that promised land certainly is heaven. I think that promised land is certainly up in his house, in his place, and that we're going to enjoy it. But we got to do what he's called us to do, because I believe that these long days aren't quantity, they're quality. And I don't know about you, but it seems like 24 hours every single day go faster and faster all the time. But you know what? They're good days. And there's bad ones in there. There's tough ones in there, but God's still good. God's still in control. You know? We don't always get what we want. But I say that's a good thing. I say that's a good thing. That we don't get what we want. No. Would your life have as much meaning if God wasn't in it? Really? Think about it. Now that he is in it, man, there's purpose. There's a reason to wake up every day. And I'm blessed to be a part of a church that there are people that are willing to come and be in the presence of God. I was listening to Adrian Rogers today on Bot Radio, and he was talking about the church and how blessed we are to come to a place of fellowship, to come in a place to encourage one another, to come to a place and just see each other's face. Why? Because we have this relationship, we have this koinonia fellowship together where we know what's going on. We can look in each other's eyes, and though we may have had a bad day, we're still saved. And when we know that one of us has had a bad day, I can look in your eyes and go, what's going on? How can I pray for you? And it happens all the time. We have opportunities to get involved in our relationships with one another and really encourage each other. And I have to laugh because someone was sharing some stuff with me just the night before the service. And I'm going to confess, verses started coming into my mind. You know, and I'm just to share verses and to encourage someone with the Word of God. And part of me is kind of, oh, they know that. And if we truly do know the Word, we just need to be reminded of it, don't we? I mean, if I share a scripture with you, oh, I know that one. You can just see the look. I mean, it can change the countenance. When why? We get our focus off of the things that are going on around us, and we get our focus on God. And if we be still and know he is God. That was a verse I shared tonight. Be still and know, be still. That's hard for us. That's hard for us to be still. It's hard for us to just sit back and go, honor my father and mother. Respect my father and mother. But once I begin to think about respecting them, Pastor Rob, I just start hearing all the bad years and all the fighting and all the pain and all the abuse and all the negative. And I understand that. And God understands that. But the right thing to do is to honor them. Honor them. We have the responsibility to honor God by honoring our parents. And I believe with God's help and Christ's example, as we look at it in the scriptures, because who suffered more upon this earth than Christ? I don't think anybody more than Christ. He suffered, but yet he still fulfilled the call upon his life. So he set the example of honoring his father despite what he wanted. And that's what we need to do. Despite what we want, God, your will. I'm going to honor my parents. And maybe for some of you here tonight, it's going to mean this week you're going to pick up the phone and talk to mom and dad. Or if they're no longer here, if they're in heaven or wherever, maybe you're just going to sit down and remember some of the good days and honor the Lord that way. By honoring them. That's what God's called us to, and he's equipped us to do it.